In Conversation with Terry Shepard, award-winning broadcaster, narrator, and author. A deep dive into the writer's craft with the artists and support systems who create the stories we love.
Thanks, Lisa. Joy Rybar's adventures have taken her from the idyllic days of the 1970s small town Wisconsin to the bustling city of Madison. Joy's been involved in local journalism, community theater, and education. She enjoyed her calling as an English teacher, but couldn't resist the call of mystery writing. She's the award-winning author of the Deep Lake Mysteries and is launching a new series starring a professor and an ex-con in search of a killer. Joy Rybar, welcome to In Conversation.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me today. I'm excited to enter into this adventure with you.
The Medusa Murders was released on November 14th and features a very dysfunctional family. Tell us about it.
Two estranged sisters, one a literature professor and one her ex-con artist sister, and a lot of sharp edges, and twist them together with some sentimentality and some paranormal elements and a killer that has a mythical bent and a surly detective. You have Medusa Murders in a nutshell, and I'm hoping that you're going to ask me a whole lot of questions from there.
I am always fascinated, Joy, by how writers get their inspiration for the story. How did this one come to you?
Oh, okay. This one was really easy. My main character, Babe Browning, is a literature professor, and I happen to be a retired literature teacher. And when I started writing after retiring from being a teacher, I started with a series that was based on some hobbies that I absolutely loved. And when I wanted to start a new series, I really was finding that I was missing my life of having discussions about literature with my students. I loved teaching literature, and I taught from every single era, ancient all the way to modern. And I was a little homesick for that literary world. And so I thought, I can create a character who's a literature professor. She actually doesn't want to be an amateur sleuth. She gets pulled in to helping to solve this crime because she is a mythology expert. And hence, you see the title, The Medusa Murders. Okay, this book involves a killer who goes by the name of Medusa. When Bay Browning, my main character, when she finds out that she's a target of this killer, that's when she gets pulled into the investigation. They first pull her in because Medusa leaves behind clues every time she commits a murder. And the clues have to do with mythology and art history. So it fit really well into my main character's world. She teaches at a small college in the humanities department. She happens to have a colleague who is an art history expert. And so she pulls her into the investigation. She does all the things the police would never want you to do, which is don't tell anybody about this investigation and pull them into it with you. So that's how she's at odds a lot with the detective in the book. But so my love of literature is what really drew me to create this new series, and I'm hoping to feature a different aspect of literature in every installment of the series.
Is there a certain era that's your favorite?
Oh, it's like trying to pick a favorite child or grandchild in my case too. I loved teaching classical mythology because of all the history that's tied into it, and I really like history too. And my students responded so well to classical mythology. They thought that it was just crazy fun to learn all about these legends and Greek gods and goddesses and heroes. And it really played into that whole popularity of fantasy. Fantasy genre is a huge, hugely popular. So when I could weave that into my classical mythology teaching, they just lit up and just fell in love with mythology as I did. So that's the favorite I'll talk about today. If I come in for the next book, I'll have a different favorite.
Is Edith Hamilton's mythology still the go-to in that space, like it was 55 years ago when I first read it?
Yes. You absolutely have to use Edith Hamilton. She was, I don't think anyone has come to the forefront to replace her in terms of the fact that she brought together all of the known myth writers of those time periods. And she brings them all together and she wove it together so well. It was almost, without teaching a college level version of it, I taught it to high school students. You just couldn't offer them a better mix of mythology and from somebody like her. Although Joseph Campbell is also really good, but he's a little bit above the high school level. So yeah, I brought him in a little bit when I would talk about the hero cycle, but otherwise he was much more college material.
We're in conversation with Joy Ribar. Her website is joiribar.com. We're talking about the Medusa murders, released on November 14th, and some of the mythology behind the story. Do you find kids that are into mythology and the paranormal like to read beyond their grade level?
And some of them want that. They eat it right up. So that you have some who you can tell when they're like, yeah, that's enough. And the rest of them are like, oh, feed me more. What else can you show me? What else can you show me?
Take us a little deeper into the paranormal dimensions of the Medusa murders.
Bay's sister, Cassandra, she is the ex-con artist in this storyline. And they were very close when they were growing up. But they've grown apart. They grew apart after their mother passed away. And Cassandra started, for one thing, she's harboring this secret that her sister doesn't know about. So that kind of drove a wedge in their relationship. And Cassandra decided to go down this other path because she has this extrasensory perception that happens when she touches people. She can touch people and maybe sometimes their very personal belongings if it's somebody she knows well. And she gets vibes off of that sense of touch. And sometimes it's imagery, and sometimes it's just an emotional sense of something that could be a very strong sense of emotion, whether it's somebody who's harboring a secret or somebody who's maybe not a very good person. And she was able to hone those skills to become this really great grifter. So she's a practiced con artist, and she was good at it for quite a long time and kind of bounced in and out of her family's life until finally the law caught up with her. She got involved in a pretty big scheme and was sent off to prison. But when she comes back now into the storyline, she's out of prison. She needs a place to stay. And she lands on her sister's doorstep. And so those extrasensory perception skills come into play in the story.
Are you a paranormal believer?
Yeah, there's always background there, right? We always have a reason for all the things that we decide to include in our writing. My mom used to tell me about family stories about an uncle with ESP, an uncle who saw ghosts, who could speak to his father after his father passed away, and then his little sister passed away. We had all these family stories that involved some sort of paranormal weirdness to them. Even my mom herself, she will have dreams and she'll wake up from a dream, and it certainly wasn't all the time, but there were a lot of times in my life I can remember her saying, there's something wrong with somebody in my family. She comes from a big family, so I need to call. I need to call Idaho, or I need to call Uncle John, or I need to call somebody. And sure enough, she would call and something was amiss. And so she always had this dream tied to this some sort of event. I don't know. Sometimes I just think maybe there's people who are just very in tune with the universe, in tune with their family or close friends. And who's to say the truth is out there?
Joy Ribar is our guest. The Medusa Murders is her latest. She's also the award-winning author of The Deep Lake Mysteries. Her website is joyribar.com. You're writing in a very popular genre right now. What's the appeal?
I think people love the idea of possibility, of what could be. I think we have, personally for me, I have J.R. Tolkien to thank for that, because I devoured The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and then read them more times. I wasn't like I read them once. I had to read them multiple times. But then J.K. Rowling brought us Harry Potter. And every time somebody would, and there's so many other series out there, but every time somebody would offer us this new world with all these great possibilities, you just started thinking about how cool, wouldn't it be cool to live in that world? I'd like to go visit that world. I'd like to meet a wizard or a hobbit, in my case.
Your readers likely range in age from the teens into the 60s. That's a broad spectrum of experience and knowledge that you're writing for.
I think what happens is you create this world that has a wide appeal. And I'm a firm believer in you do it with characters. Your characters have to be relatable. And I like offering a variety of characters so that there's something for somebody to say, oh, I can see myself in this person, or I just want to read more about this one because I'm hoping that they really get slapped up in the end or somewhere in the book. And I think that's the key. It's just making these characters that people can feel like, oh, I could meet that person in a coffee shop, or I might bump into them in my own community. My fiction all takes place in small towns. You just know that you're going to create these characters where you really get to know them. You know their life story and you know their ups and downs in life. And again, just making them relatable for people means that you can find yourself somewhere in that fiction.
You have four in the Deep Lake Mystery series. The fifth one is coming out shortly. Tell us a little bit about how that developed.
After I retired from teaching high school English and college writing classes, I found a pretty big void in my life. I was used to putting in 60 hours every week because that's what you do when you're a teacher. And suddenly I thought, oh, I'm just going to celebrate and really enjoy having all this extra time. And it's amazing that it just didn't quite work that way. And I loved mysteries. And my husband always told me that I could write. And I said, I'm not going to write. That's something I'm not going to do because I'm going to take a break now. And I found myself first missing the fact that I used to teach a lot of creative writing and journaling. And when my students would write, I would write with them because I wanted to set a good example. So I had a lot of these little journal pieces sitting around. But I didn't have any big ideas. But suddenly, in the middle of that very first boring winter of living in retirement and living in Wisconsin, where it's just cold and snowy, this character came to mind, and this small town came to mind. And pretty soon, during the night when I'm supposed to be asleep, they're just knocking on the door of my brain and not leaving me alone. So I decided, right, I'll just write a little bit. And by the time I got six chapters in, I said to my husband, I finally told him, I said, I think I'm writing a book. And of course, he just laughed at me and gave me a big nod and thumbs up. And and I wrote again. There's always the advice of you should write what you know. What do I know best? I know Wisconsin. I know families, I know small towns, I know tourist towns. I knew how much I loved baking. So I thought, if I were going to do something else in my life, what would I do? Oh gosh, wouldn't it be great to own a bakery / winery? Because I love to visit wineries. And I was like, no, it would be better than owning that. It would be better to create a character who owns that in a book so that you don't actually have to do all the business end of it. You can just enjoy living it through your character and having her share her stories of running that business. And that's where Mighty Plakes Mysteries came from.
And what will number five be about?
Oh, number five. Okay, well, number five is called Deep Wedded Blues. So with the word wedded in there, people already know, oh, there's going to be a wedding. Maybe not. My main character's daughter is supposed to be getting married in this installment of the Deep Lakes Mystery Series. And in the middle of all these wedding plans, my main character's partner has been called away. He's a coroner and he's been called away to another city. And now there's an obstacle in their relationship because of him going back and doing this work and being absent. Okay. Then we enter into the town, a health crisis in the community. Something is killing off some of the Deep Lakes residents. And what is it? And Frankie Champagne, who is my main character, she really doesn't have time to get involved in this. But despite not having time, she always seems to manage to get involved anyway. Something sucks her in to solving the mystery. And even though she's trying to plan her daughter's wedding, there is something that finally pulls her in to having to be involved in figuring out something as weird as whatever it is that's taking its toll on the people in her community.
We're talking with Joy Rybar, the award-winning author of the Deep Lake Mysteries and the brand new series that starts with The Medusa Murders. You're pretty heavily engaged with your readers. What would your biggest fans say they like most about your writing?
They love the characters. I try to make my characters complex. They're not perfect. I use a lot of humor. And I use a lot of relationships, whether it's relationships that are struggling and trying to work through conflicts and issues, or relationships that really support one another. And my main character in my first series, she very quickly discovers that she can't really do everything by herself. She thinks she's a one-woman show because she's very resilient and she's gone through some garbage in life, haven't we all? And she finally comes to understand that she needs to rely on the people at her bakery. So they become a real team of people that can count on one another. They support one another. They end up all kind of having their own little involvement in her amateur investigations that she goes on. And familial relationships too. Frankie herself is navigating how to be an adult parent to adult children, something that I think a lot of us can relate to, like how that dynamic changes once your children, they're still your children, but they don't need you in the same way and you can't parent them the same way. So those issues come into play. So I try to create this world where there's a lot of people helping each other and relying on each other, but also going through very real world problems that anybody and everybody probably will go through at some point in their life. And people seem to like that. I also have two very naughty, mischievous aunts that are part of the Deep Lake series. And they were only supposed to be visiting in book two. They were guests. But after book two, people wrote to me or commented or came to my in-person appearances and said, "You're never getting rid of them, right?" They're staying, right? Okay, they stayed. And that's how your readers also influence you, which is such an important part of engagement.
How much do your readers influence your writing?
They certainly weigh in and they've directed, and they give me pause. They directed that I keep those two aunt figures, which has just been a blast for me, because it's a great challenge to say, what am I going to have those aunties do next? How are they going to one up what they did the last time in the last book? Because they're troublemakers, but they mean well. So how do I continue to give them a role in solving the mystery and involvement in that book without just looking like I threw them in as an afterthought? But the other thing that my readers always want to weigh in is the romance, because a cozy mystery typically has some sort of romantic aspect to it. And Frankie has a very dear friend who is the sheriff in town. And a lot of people think that she should end up with the sheriff. I've made it pretty clear in my books that they're friends, that they're more like a brother and sister. But for some reason, these readers are like, she gonna get a chance? Is he gonna get a chance? Is he gonna get a chance? And then, but she also has a love interest. And so then, as soon as I said I was writing Deep Wedded Blues, a whole bunch of people in my in-person appearances, oh, Frankie and Garrett are getting married. And I'm like, boom. So they're always giving me things to scratch my head over and decide, is this really what my character wants? Because I listen to my characters, which I know probably sounds crazy, but they speak.
We're in conversation with Joy Ribar. JoyRibar.com is her website. And her newest is The Medusa Murders, released on November 14th. What's the early feedback?
I'm very excited about the attention and how thoughtful the comments are. I'm getting a lot about, a lot of people love that the characters are gritty. They love that they feel like the characters are living in an authentic space with authentic conversations. They really enjoy how they evolve throughout the novel. They love the mythology. I'm getting a lot of comments about how can you not like something that combines mythology, art history, academia with this no-nonsense, smart-aleck woman who doesn't take any crap from anybody is what somebody said. I love it that they feel like they can relate to the characters. And I love it when somebody says the book is smartly plotted. That's a nice compliment.
Joy Ribar, we all bring something special to the writer's table. What makes you unique?
Uniquely to me is I have had many careers. I think I am a serial careerist, if that's a word, or a serial professional. And I started out as a small town newspaper reporter, then an assistant editor for this newspaper. Then I worked at a high school. Then I became a paralegal for a personal injury firm and started writing personal injury demands and getting very well acquainted with the law. I worked for a lawyer who was both personal injury and criminal. So I got to see both. I got to see a lot of the criminal aspects of law, which I found fascinating. But then I've always wanted to be a teacher. So I decided to go back to college as a single mom, raising three daughters. I commuted an hour every day, no matter what the weather was. And I lived in Wisconsin, where it was often, there were a lot of snowy days, and commuted up to the college where I got my teaching degree and started then my teaching career after that. And just fell in love with literature all over again and reading all over again, and just really enjoyed bringing that to students. And when I retired, I started working in an aquaponics greenhouse just because I was fascinated with, I love plants. I've always been a gardener, and I thought, wow, I had this chance to work at this aquaponics greenhouse, and how cool is that? And I'm feeding like 200 tanks of 200 tilapia at a time, and I'm harvesting all these plants that are growing on these float beds. And I was always involved in community theater and absolutely loved being on the stage. Like a lot of authors who are introverted, I'm pretty comfortable in front of people. because as in community theater, you learn how to put on this persona. So it was easy for me to, and that's what I tell other authors too, it was easy for me to stand up in front of other people because I just put on my author persona. And that's what I tell other authors, because I know a lot of them really struggle with being so uncomfortable and introverted and maybe even feeling a little, I don't have anything good to say, or I don't have anything exciting to share with other people or interesting to share with other people. And you do, you just have to find it and put it and be willing to put it out there. And if you have to act, if you have to be the actress or the actor to do it, then that's okay too. So I was able to draw on all these careers and bring them into my writing. Every single thing that I've ever done has contributed to my characters and my plots. And I think it makes them authentic and maybe quirky. I don't mind that either. I don't mind coming from that quirky place.
Joy Rybar is the author of the Deep Lake Mystery Series and the recently released commencement of a new collection, the paranormal mystery thriller, The Medusa Murders, available wherever really cool books are sold. You can find her online at joyribar.com. Joy, thanks for joining us in conversation.
Thank you. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to apply to be on this guy's podcast because he's interviewed everybody on the planet. So why would he want to interview me? I have that syndrome going on. So it was so nice of you, so gracious of you to give a newbie a chance.
In Conversation with Terry Shepherd is a copyrighted presentation, all rights reserved. I'm Lisa Davis. Join Terry Shepherd next time in Conversation.